was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics. Podcast number 597. That was not fair, Pat.
I can't help it.
It was pretty funny, though.
It was, but making me laugh right as I start. Jerk face. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Pat.
Mike.
There's a tornado warning, so...
it's a watch, not a warning.
Watch, so Dave decided to not come. So, whatever.
Remember whenever, like, tornadoes wasn't a thing around here? Like,
yeah.
I remember being a kid, like, they, you know...
Because the mountains and everything should...
One touchdown on Mount Washington once. This is probably like 25, 30 years ago. But, yeah, I was always told with the hills, you don't have to worry.
Yeah. Growing up in the Chicago, we had lots of tornadoes. Yeah. So, or at least warnings. I don't, never got hit with a tornado, but... Fun. So that's what, if suddenly we go off the air, that's what happened. Okay.
Maybe we're
I don't think that's how this works.
I know.
Is it with the whole store just landing, like falling the Wizard of Oz land?
Yeah. We'll see where we end up. We've got plenty of reading material, so that's good, right, Rexy?
Yep.
Okay. He had his say. You got a CP in your eye, buddy. So news, Mike, you had big news.
Elektra's getting her own.
Yes. Very exciting. Yes.
Because didn't she already?
She did. It was a little 3-issue mini and now she's getting another one.
But she's Daredevil already.
She's Daredevil Woman Without Fear, but there's another Daredevil. So we have two. It's like Spider-Man
being a priest.
We have two. Well, he's still Daredevil though. He was wearing a white costume last issue, and then he fought so bad with Wolverine, it turned red from his blood.
Why would you wear a white costume?
I don't know. It didn't make sense. The thing is, he's blind. He doesn't know what color it is.
That is true.
Yeah.
They
could have said, hey, this is red material.
Right.
They gave
He'd have no idea.
You know,
exactly.
One.
He knows what red smells like.
Oh.
He knows how red feels.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point. Okay, some other news. There's going to be a new Werewolf by Night book this summer following Blood Hunt.
Well, it's supposed to be bloody, too.
Great. So we're going to have two versions of it, the regular and the bloody version. That's going to be awesome if this is their new thing. And then we'll have the new X-Men launch. We'll get the regular and the extra X-Men-y. It's mutated issues. Oh, I see where they're going with this.
Well, isn't Jean Grey coming back?
They're all coming back.
No, Jean Grey, is she getting her own book?
Probably.
Yeah. Or like a mini. I think there's like a Phoenix book or something.
Yeah. And then I also saw Gail Simone and Eddie Barrows are going to be doing an action arc, and Rainbow Roll and Cian Murphy are going to be doing a Lois Lane arc in action. I guess they did the kids, one of the YA books. And then the other thing, this was the most exciting thing I saw. This was announced yesterday. I saw it and I was giddy with full giddiness. Was
giddy.
Nice House on the Lake is coming back with Nice House by the Sea coming in July.
Are they actually written or are they just saying they're coming
back? I don't
back?
Know. But in July, the last issue came out December 2022. So we're getting the next issue July 2024. This is like a saga type schedule.
Is Saga even out anymore?
No.
They stopped again.
The last issue was what, September, Tim?
I think so.
Yeah, so.
And what number was that?
Whatever's behind Mike there, I can't see.
Oh, I can't tell.
Yeah, so, year and a half between issues. I'm like, I'm sure it's going to sell, probably about half as much as the last one did.
Nobody cares.
Nope, nobody cares. Which they don't seem to get, but I'm sure...
I know you do, but will you get it in issues or trades, Pat?
I'll probably get it in issues now. I didn't get it in issues. Mm-hmm. So the first time I read it was when we did the first part for Book Club.
Okay.
And then by that point, I think issue 9 was out, and you were missing... You had 7, you didn't have 8, you had 9. So I just said, okay, I'll just wait for the trade. But now that I can catch it... In issues off the street.
But what if they do like Maniac of New York to us?
Why would you
I doubt
say
they
something
would.
Like that?
Well, Maniac happened because the company had to file bankruptcy. So,
They keep telling it's going to come out.
Yeah,
it's
sure never it is. Coming out. I'm sure it is.
Saga is 66.
Yeah, and they're going. I thought they said that's like just past the halfway point. It's like, uh-huh.
No,
sure.
We're done.
Yeah. Just good luck with that.
Yeah, put a fork in it.
Yeah. If you can't be bothered to make the books, don't expect customers to be bothered to buy it. So.
Well, they took 2.5 years off.
Yeah.
Well, it just sucks because like Brian K. Vaughan has wrote some of like the best comic books like I've ever read. Like, and for him not to even be doing anything.
What's going on? Is he doing like properties?
He might be doing TV, movies. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we have a Dave question because Dave could
Dave?
Make here. Yes.
Dave's here in spirit, man.
Yep. So he has a question. It's a kaiju throwdown.
Okay.
It's a three-way.
Well, okay, Dave.
Okay.
I would have never thought of it. Okay.
Television meteorologist edition. Kaiju Al Roker versus...
What, Fat Al or post...
Up to you, because against Kaiju Willard Scott versus Kaiju Dennis Bowman with his Kaiju ventriloquist dummy Chester Drawers.
I'm going Willard Scott. He's got that crazed look in his eye.
That's true.
Yeah, plus he was the original Ronald McDonald.
Yeah,
there
I'm
you
going...
Go. Yeah,
he's got some crazed in him.
Okay. I'll give you that. Okay, I'm going to let him know.
I think Al Roker just gets destroyed.
Yeah. He's too nice.
He's absolutely, yeah.
Willard Scott, you can tell there's something brewing just underneath the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said, yeah. I just let him know. Willard won, crazy eyes. Okay, and then we have an empty question they actually sent me yesterday.
We started typing it yesterday. You just finished today. Yeah. That's how long the question
Oh, I forgot about this news, so good. Well, it was a bleeding cool news. Is Scott Snyder's newly announced DC Absolute line just the thing needed to jumpstart DC again?
No.
I don't know if it is. They need something. It drives me insane that they had the whole Donna DC thing and ran it for 2 months. And it's like, so I was talking about this with Dan of Southside Comics. And I said, they need a big picture guy like a Hickman or even Mark Waid to look at it again. Because what I said to him is, so here's fun.
We're starting some line. We already have lines.
Yeah.
There's like 10 lines. We don't need another one.
Well, and if you do another line, then that means you got to have at least one or two more Batman books.
Well, that's the thing. Here we go.
Batman books.
Next week, there are 9 comics coming out.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. No, 8 comics coming out.
From DC?
From DC. I'm not counting the facsimile edition.
Okay.
8 comics. Batman Dark Age, Batman Brave and the Bold, Detective, Flash, Green Arrow, Harley Quinn, Penguin, and Power Girl. Five of the eight are Batman books.
Yeah. Batman adjacent,
at least. Right. But it's like... But so I decided... So I looked. I looked back at the New 52 lineup, and I'm not sure if this... No is incomplete. But we had Firestorm, Hawkman, Hawk and Dove, Stormwatch, Voodoo, Demon Knights, Justice League International, Justice League Dark, Justice League, Men at War, All-Star Western, Deathstroke, Legion, Mr. Terrific, OMAC, Animal Man, Swamp Thing.
Dial H.
That was later. That was part of the DCU.
I thought that was part of New 52.
No, I think that was the second.
I thought it was like the second wave of New 52.
But it's like there was variety.
Yeah, you had. Yeah,
and right now,
Green Arrow book,
when there was family of books. Like
yes,
there was Batman books, but like there was a group of Batman books. There was a group of Flash or Justice League books.
You
like,
had Red Lanterns. You had.
Yeah, I said that was the one I forgot. Red Lanterns.
You had New Guardians. The Green Lantern, New Guardians. You had Green Lantern, Core Green Lantern.
Yeah,
you
but
had,
right now,
yeah.
It's Batman or bust. Yeah.
The Batman has...
Now, they weren't all successful. They weren't all great. But it was variety. Right now, it's like, you like you don't like Batman. Well, we have some Superman books. You know, it's just too much of the same thing. Way too much of the same thing. So, yeah, I don't know if it's just something added. And we don't really know anything about it yet. So.
You forgot Grifter.
Grifter? That was a good book. I like the start.
Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite comic colorists?
I don't know.
really know.
I don't pay attention to who colors.
No, I don't. I don't care. Yeah, I don't pay attention to who colors it.
I'm just gonna go.
Smallwood, I think the Human Target was some of the best coloring
Lynn
I've ever
Barley
seen.
Lynn Barley on her Dark Knight.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago. Yeah, but not Dark Knight 2.
I didn't say Dark Knight 2. No, I would never say that.
And not discrediting their work, just
no,
I
just don't pay attention.
This one, that's one of those ones like you don't notice them until you're like, that doesn't look right, and then like, you know, but if they're doing a good job,
yeah, maybe. Like the problem I'm having with the current Suicide Squad book. Okay, a really good slice of New York City pizza or a really good Philly cheesesteak, what would you opt for? I'd go the cheesesteak.
Pizza.
Cheesesteak.
I'm just a pizza guy, so
yeah, yeah.
What's one thing around your house you've been putting off but needs to be done? For me...
Divorce? I mean...
No. We have... I have a bunch... We have two down trees way in the back of our property that I need to get cut up, but they're huge, and I just have a little chainsaw.
You
spring cleaning
the greatest trees
yeah.
ever.
No, yeah. No,
so
no.
Many people
they're just,
told me, God,
they're they far outdo the size of my chainsaw.
I have spring cleaning that I started last year that I probably should finish this year.
Well, it is spring, so you're still
one good
target.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, Carolyn won't let me get messy, so that it's never. That's not a problem.
Yeah, I have to clean up my backyard because we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
there's this weird vine that grows. It's looks like yeah. grape, but it's not. And it's killed trees,
yep.
and I got to clean
yep.
it off.
Yep.
Can you exterminate
it? It was funny.
It keep coming back.
It keeps coming
at
back.
The old house, I would every spring go out and attack it, and then after I left, I didn't keep going back to do that. And, like, it pulled down three trees. Yeah. I'm like, not my responsibility. I'm like, you knew I'd go out there every spring and chopping vines, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Discuss the state of Flash in comics and how it can improve. Mike!
Get rid of Cy Spurrier. Get rid of Mike Diodato. Get somebody on
that runs.
I think
Diodato's gone.
Yeah. They can draw the Flash that runs. What does this Flash do? He runs. He just doesn't stand.
Did you try Speed Force? Maybe they ran in Speed Force.
No.
No. Tim actually told me that book is terrible.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm shocked Tim would say something like that.
It's just, it's not a good Flash book.
Yeah.
It's not. It's too wordy. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and I know he had a lot to live up to.
Tim's just a hater. He hates everything.
But it's just been bad.
Yeah.
And I love the Flash. He's like one of my favorite characters of all time.
That Speed Force book makes the Flash look like Shakespeare.
Seriously?
Awful. I'm so happy that it's over.
How many issues was it?
Six.
Yeah. Wow. Six too many?
At least.
I don't know.
Okay, part six. What was your first job?
Real job?
Yeah, I'm paycheck job.
Oh, paycheck job.
I mean, we all did, you know.
I was a paper boy.
Cutting lawns and all that stuff. But
I was a
paper one
boy
where you got a check.
Dairy Queen.
I worked at a local restaurant, bringing the food out from the kitchen.
I was a baseball umpire.
But I'm so old. I worked at Dairy Queen. They first brought out blizzards, and you know the trick with the blizzards?
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. There was a banana split blizzard. And, you had
and it
put,
didn't do that?
So you had to put pineapple, strawberry, and like chocolate in, and it was very soupy. And every time.
It didn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and people would be like, irate. And you're like, just go like that real quick. And like, see, it worked. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what,
Walmart?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, that's what I'm doing now, just different departments.
Did you work the carts? Was that your first job?
Yeah, the buggy fields.
Love that. That was like, nobody what? Talking to him, nobody bothering him.
Well, I don't know about the bothering. There's a lot of
I can't imagine that no one bothers the car.
I just meant other employees.
Yeah.
Hey, could you do this? Could you? You know,
well, I went to Giant Eagle over here, and I'm sitting in the car, turned the car on, and the guy was collecting the buggies, and this rogue shopping cart is loose.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, he runs after it. I'm like, dude, you better get it's going to hit a car.
The guy that did
oh,
the
no,
car jockey.
Oh, no, come back.
It's a Giant Eagle in Washington. That son of a bitch is in the way no matter where he is. It never fails. No matter where I park, no matter
there,
how
block
long
you in?
I'm in there. Yeah. Oh, all of, I think he sees me coming, parks the carts there and like sits there and smokes and like, F this guy.
Time to go on lunch.
Yeah.
I'll be back in 30 to 45 minutes. Pat doesn't need to go anywhere.
No, I hate that son of a bitch.
Then the last one is favorite Letterman bit. I mean, there's so many. Two come immediately to mind, though. One, when he put on the suit of cereal.
Velcro? Mine was
well,
Velcro.
The Velcro suit, but yeah. There was also where he put on the suit full of cereal and was lowered into a bowl of milk. A giant bowl of milk. But yeah, the Velcro suit was, I'd never laughed so hard when he stuck to the wall.
And he's just like, what do I do?
And it was great, because growing up in Chicago, it was he came on at 11:30 instead of 12:30. Oh, okay, like, okay. Out here it would have been 12:30. Yeah. Out there it was 11. So I could stay up and watch it. Yeah. And, yeah, my misspent youth. I still remember what his morning show.
Oh, wow. Anytime he dropped things off of buildings was always that was always good, too.
Yeah. But Letterman could... Very few misses.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Conan, watch the Hot Wings special.
You know, he's been all... People are almost eulogizing him because of how good that is.
He was taking the hottest and putting...
Because he used a Simpsons trick. He took hot wax and spit it around in his mouth so it coated his mouth so it wasn't burning his mouth.
He was bright red and, like, at the end he was feeling it.
Oh, yeah, but...
But the great part is, he goes, can I keep these? He kept putting wings in his pocket.
I saw that, I'm only going to eat a little of this. I'll keep this, save this for later.
Yeah. And he brought his own doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure it was.
And he was taking his blood pressure. He puts his hand around his neck. He's like, what's there? Did you see it, Tim?
I watched it,
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. And if you've not seen Ryan Gosling's SNL this past week.
I saw the Beavis and Butthead.
That's all you need to see.
I saw little clips. I saw his Papyrus 2.
Almost the whole episode was like fantastic, but that Beavis and Butthead thing was...
Nobody could stop laughing.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
I saw a couple clips of him from different things, and it's like, he's not good with the break in the character. Like, he's
he was breaking all the time.
On purpose.
Yeah.
To do the UFO sketch, and he can't even look.
She had her head.
Just down on his head, like, not looking, not gonna look up.
They're gonna try.
I read that they've had the idea for that Beavis and Butthead skit for 5 years.
Yeah.
And just finally got it done.
Yeah. And they didn't show, what's her name, didn't see the final costumes.
You couldn't. You could just tell that she had no idea.
Yeah.
And the dude's mouth, the teeth, you two don't know each other. No, they've never met each other. Like, I think you know each other.
I've never met this man before.
It's so cool to see something like that awesome, and it just works.
Yeah. That's all we have for questions. So, Mike, with your visual aids.
I read a couple. So, I've been reading the Spawn books, and I've been enjoying them. So, a new one came out called Rat City. Number one. Did you read this, Tim?
Spawn stuff.
What? Well, since that, because that one page is so anti-Spawn.
Multiple pages.
There were typos. It was a big Spawn special, and there were typos.
It was the Spawn Universe one shot, which was supposed to kick off the whole new universe, and it was riddled with typos.
So they didn't have another. So it's set in the future, 2107.
In the year 2000.
And this guy, he's just like a worker, and there was an explosion at work, he loses his legs, and then in comes the $6 million man plot. They give him new legs and a new life, and they train him. This is the whole...
But he has to fight Sasquatch.
No, that would be cool. And the whole issue is just like him learning to use his powers, and then he gets into a battle at the end, and a hologram of Al Simmons Spawn shows up at the end. It just wasn't my thing, and the art was not my thing either, so I was like, I gave it a try, and it was like, not good.
So 5 more issues.
No, I will not buy another one. So, I bought this one just because of the locale guy.
I read that.
Dave Wachter. Is that how you say it? Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Oops. Anybody else read this?
I did.
No.
It was really, really good.
Yeah, I knew the premise. It took a little while to get to the premise, but
so they chose this kid. He's in school with these two other kids, and they're going to go on top of this bridge, and they're going to dare to jump off. And they jump off, and this kid falls through the ground, kind of like out of
Wile E. Coyote.
Looney Tunes, doesn't get hurt. And the other two kids
makes a hole, body-shaped hole in the ground.
Break their legs. So he goes back to school. Mom gets called in to the principal's office. He's done this. And he's like, you don't understand. These things have happened. And he started
he's been suspended because this is the third strike.
He started a fire, and he did something else. And he's trying to tell his mom.
Oh, he was bouncing off. He was running around the classroom, and he started a fire in the lunchroom.
Yeah. And he's trying to tell his mom, you just don't understand, Mom. These things just keep happening. And it's like he almost has like these abilities. And she's like, well, you know, not believing.
Well, then when he explains what happened, like in the lunchroom, the fire was because somebody gave him a really hot pepper to eat.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, fire was shooting out of his mouth and said stuff.
Yeah.
And the other one, he was literally bouncing off the walls. I think he was excited about something and started bouncing off the walls.
So they go back home, and she's like making dinner, and these black crows just start stopping.
But he takes the garbage out. Oh, yeah, and there's all those black crows outside.
And she's like, are there crows out there? And he's like, yeah. And then they bust through the window, and they attack. And they're attacking Mom and the kid. And
Grandpa shows up.
Grandpa shows up, who is a cartoon character.
Yeah, basically looks like the prospector from Toy Story.
It was insane. And the mom goes, well, this is your grandpa. And he's like, what? He's like, yeah. And the grandpa has a shotgun. The crows are still attacking. It gets the kid in the car. But better yet, to leave the house, the kid just like winds up his legs.
And runs through the wall of the house, of course, leaving a body-sized hole.
Yeah, just like out of Roger Rabbit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he gets in the car with grandpa, and he's firing a gun, and you're like, what?
Yeah, but then sadly,
doesn't look like mom made it, but he's with grandpa. So apparently he has some kind of cartoon abilities.
Correct.
To do whatever he wants. Yeah. It was very interesting. It was pretty fun, and I didn't expect this, because I was like, why is the little Yosemite Sam dude on the cover? And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So, Little Black Book number
this
2.
This is written by Tony Fleece of Stray Dogs.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, I read that.
So continue.
Which one? Sorry?
Little Black Book number 2.
Oh, I read that. Yeah, I didn't read that cover. But yeah.
So it continues the story of...
I forgot to write that one down. Look at that.
Okay. So apparently a drug cartel, I guess you could say, wants the Little Black Book.
Yeah, someone's paying the bill and thought that black book was deactivated until...
Yeah. So they're like, we need to get this back because we can get a lot of power, a lot of things done with that. And then they cut to the young woman, the wife, that killed the old lady. And she tries to go to this therapy counseling place. Walks in and they're like, what are you here for? And she's like, no, I just can't do it. Because all she keeps thinking about is the dead woman. Because
she keeps seeing the posters.
Yeah.
So these drug dealer guys find the guy that helped.
Well, they basically send their fixer.
Yeah. And it's this guy who looks like a cop, and they're like, what are you, the real police? And they're like, no. Like, who has the black book? And he's like,
I guess they already talked to the tow truck driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they try to get some information out of him, and you're like, he's like, I'll tell you whatever you want, you know, kind of thing. And, well, they stick him in the trunk and catch the car on fire, and they're like, no, we don't need your help. And
then they go find the, because he gave the name of the kid. He said it was his kid had the black book. It's like, okay. So now they get the kid,
throw him into the trunk, and attempt to catch the car on fire, which they do. But
he tells them exactly where the black book is.
Yeah. Why would you do that, though?
Yeah, I know, because he's not a criminal. He doesn't
protect your wife, though.
Yeah.
So
they light the trunk on fire.
One guy gets shot in the head. The other guy
gets shot. The trunk gets popped and he gets out.
And
who's there? Who rescued him?
Son, we gotta go.
His papa. Yeah.
His dad's alive. Wasn't expecting that plot twist. Mm.
Yeah, that was
pleasantly surprising.
Yeah.
It was good. I really like this book. It's fun. People getting shot. I'm going to attempt to talk about Transformers, but Pat's going to help me a lot.
Okay.
So they have a brand new artist on here, and I really like the art. It looks very Daniel Warren.
Yeah.
So, Johnson.
Mike, it's the artist from Batgirls.
For real?
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
They got canceled?
Did that get canceled?
Don't.
Well, I guess now he has time to draw this.
He also drew Middle West for Scotty Young.
So there's a lot of back and forth. It starts on Cybertron, and there's a bunch of G1 Transformers that just get wiped out yet again. Which, like, well, if you show me the book, I can tell you who's who, but...
Is it him?
I'm pretty sure.
Cup, Warpath, that's the tank guy. Huffer?
That's right.
Yeah, and the one guy's trying to rebuild, but they can't because the other guys have blocked the technology to be able to heal them and fix them quickly.
Yeah. That's Cop.
Okay.
And then I'm not sure who she is. It's not Arcee. It's whoever the other female Transformer is.
And then you have Soundwave and...
Starscream.
Starscream battling for the power?
Yeah, that's how the Decepticons choose their leader. Is a fight.
Okay, spoiler alert. The guy that dies, isn't he like a major dude?
Yeah.
They kill Starscream.
What? He's too loud.
That's true.
Could they do that?
Yeah, they can. And the best part why is like, you kicked my Ravage. And he starts stomping his shit out of
him. He just beats him to a pulp, pulls his guts out and everything, and then they all start chanting
Soundwave.
Oh, yeah,
and he has laser beak poke his eye out. It's pretty brutal. And then Arcee...
Are Transformers able to come back from... Like, can they get like a jump start and, you know...
Yes, they can. They can rebuild. Yeah, they can
rebuild. They have the technology. I mean, the one guy's trying to rebuild and fix people.
Ratchet. Yeah.
The Decepticons are like blocking that technology, so he has to do it like manually, piece by piece, kind of thing.
Yeah.
No! It is! I knew I liked it for a reason.
But, Arcee is talking to Carly about, hey, you know, basically she's going full C. Thomas Howe from Red Dawn, and she's like, yeah, you can't let all that hate eat you up inside. And she talks about how Ultra Magnus. Found her when her clan had been killed off and taught her how to be a warrior.
Ultra Magnus was like her mentor or something like
that. Yeah.
And then they show Spike with Optimus, and there's something wrong with Optimus because he's like driving along and all of a sudden he like loses form. Do we know why that happens? Okay.
He's injured though.
Oh, okay, that could be why then. And then Optimus is like, this is our opportunity, and we need to attack the Decepticons and protect Earth, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was cool. I just was like, they killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there reading, I'm like, they can't kill him, he's a major person. And I'm like, I guess they don't really care. But, like you said, maybe they can bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, they can bring him back, but like... If you ever saw Transformers the movie, in the first... 15 minutes of Transformers the movie, they killed off all but like 10, if that, of the first G1 Transformers. All your favorites are dead. Go buy new toys.
Okay.
And a couple of them we find out aren't really dead. You just assume that they were because they got eaten by a giant planet, but they somehow survived.
So yeah, this is the first issue of a new story arc, so it was really good. So that's all I'm going to talk about. But yeah, it was awesome.
Okay. Well, it was going to be quick.
Yeah, I only got one more. Thundercats.
Oh.
Exactly. Thank you.
Excitement.
So the best part about this is, like, Panthro doesn't like this new Thundercat, Calica, and... Lino has a thing for her, which is pretty clear, and Panther's like, you know, my whole thing is I have to protect the group. That's my number one thing. So Chitara challenges Panther to a fight, because apparently that's like they have a challenge and that's the only way they can solve problems, because like Lino, because he's the leader, can't take sides. So, they have to wear this armor that like keeps her from being able to move real fast, but Panther breaks it up, and by breaking it up, she's then able to move fast. Like, he didn't think that part through. And then they had, it was like a window to like a hidden armory opened, and Snarf was in there. And then in this version, Snarf can communicate. Like, when we hear him, he just says Snarf, Snarf. But Lion-O can communicate with him telepathically. He knows what he's actually saying. Which is slightly less annoying than what it was in the cartoon.
But. Now, can you then understand what he's saying through, like, you know what I
mean?
Yeah,
like, Lion-O will say something that, oh, okay, that's what he meant.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, I don't know if maybe, they changed, like, the word, like, you know what I mean? Like, when they would go in telepathically, like, you know, you could...
No, you don't actually see the words. You just, they say,
yeah,
they can communicate telepathically.
Right.
What issue is this?
Three.
Okay. Wow.
And then the other kind of interesting thing that happens is, it appears that like Jaga had been to Third Earth before, and that's how Mumra knows everything.
Next week.
But that also makes sense as to why they went there, like, because he was the one that plotted the course, so he knew about the planet. And no one else did. And at the end, Slythe got attacked by Monkeyin, who was one of the other mutants.
So are they telling, like, their own story and different from the...
Yeah, this is very different than the original cartoon.
Okay.
It's, like, it's interesting. There's enough of it that is similar to kind of keep old-time readers.
How do you like the art in the book? Cause I follow the artist, and I've, like, read stuff that he's done before, but...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not big enough of a Thundercats fan to you know, get the book, but...
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it. And it's I have a Transformers book I like,
mm-hmm.
multiple G.I. Joe books I like, a Thundercats book I like, a Ninja Turtle book I like.
Mm-hmm. You just need
bring
some cereal.
Cereal and a He-Man book, and I'm all about it. I mean, it's
Isn't
like,
there a He-Man book out?
No.
No? Okay.
No, the last one wrapped up.
Okay.
But, yeah. And then Space Ghost is coming soon.
That looks actually very cool.
Really soon. Not next week, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the last week in April.
27th or something.
Yeah.
No, because next week, well, yeah, next week's the 24th, so.
It's a raining now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Spencer?
Maybe
it's May 1st.
Batman and Robin. There's two different kind of stories going on right now. There's Robin with what's her name? His girlfriend now.
Is it the little skull girl?
Yeah. I just can't think of her name at the moment.
The one that was on
the island.
Yeah.
The island. Heartstopper or...
Something like
that.
Yeah. Forget her name. Heartbreaker.
So it's them two, and then there's Batman with...
What's when your heart stops? Line?
Flatline?
Flatline and Robin, and then there's Batman and Shush. And so... Shush is trying to convince Batman that, like, hey, I can, you know, help you take down Man-Bat because he has this big cult of people that he is, that he has control of and stuff like that. But one of the other henchmen sees it and goes back to Man-Bat to report on her. So whenever they do show up, Man-Bat's getting ready to take both of them out, and then Batman is fighting a whole bunch of them, and I can't remember exactly how the Batman stuff ends, but then he goes like missing for a while, and then so that's going on. Flatline and Robin, they're looking for Flatline. They just find Flatline's sister at the end of the last issue, and she's like something happened with their family to where her powers kicked in, and now she's like running weapons and stuff, trying to, you know, take up for like what their dad did, like what their dad did and stuff like that. And then so Flatline turns on Robin to help her sister, and then so Robin's chasing her because Robin got this new Robin mobile and stuff like that. So he's showing off some of his new toys for that. But then it actually turns out that Flatline is double-crossed her sister because, like, she's working for, like, August or one of, like, the government groups or whatever to get her sister, kind of, like, turned in and try to get her off the path, like, the crime path and stuff like that. And then, so...
Just walk right over you.
Yeah, whatever.
So, like I said, Batman's missing at this point. And then so Flatline decides to, she starts going to school with Robin to try to figure out, you know, what's going on and stuff. So that's kind of like how the issue ends with them walking into school together.
What city are they in?
They're in Gotham.
They're in Gotham, okay.
I see the Green Lantern.
Yes.
Really good.
It's very good.
So whenever Hal shows up, Joe's there to meet him. And she's like, stop using the ring. They're
tracing you.
Yeah.
They can find where we're at. And they're on OA.
Yeah. And then,
OA.
Yeah.
Oh, is it OA?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then so, they're like leading a resistance against.
Never heard it.
That's how I always.
That was a really cool TV show, OA. It sadly got canceled before it finished, which made it super complicated, but.
Sorry.
Okay.
But so, Joe and some of the other Lanterns are, like, leading a resistance against the United Planet Green Lanterns, who have... See you, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
That, are, like, running things, and the different Lanterns have different, like, they can change through their, like, the different specters, or, like, you know, they can use the different Lantern rings and stuff like that.
Well, he runs into Kyle Rayner. Runs into... Is it Baz? Is that how you say
Yeah.
it? Baz. And then there was the young girl. I don't know who she is. That they were kind of like doing.
Oh, Teen Lantern.
Teen Lantern?
Yeah.
So she's like in a medical unit and they're like kind of like examining her and like trying to figure things out. And then Jen is undercover?
Jessica.
Jessica, okay, is undercover giving them information and intel like of what's going on. And the Hal just loses it and busts in.
Yeah, because they're like, hey, no, you have to wait, you have to wait. And then he's like, nope, but, like, since his ring's not there, they can't, not only can they not, like, just turn off the power, but they can't trace it or anything either.
Yeah.
And Hal has all those other rings back on Earth, too, so...
And there was two bugs that were in the operating room, I guess, or the examining room, and they're like, release the girl. And then one, they just sat there, and he put, like, a post or something through the one bug's head. He's like, are you going to release her now?
Yeah. But yeah, really good. And then I don't know the backup.
I actually did because it was Kevin Maguire's art.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. It was Guy Gardner.
Yeah, it was Guy Gardner just trying to find Lobo for something going on with the Superman crossover going on.
They bring in the wrestling guy that was in the Flash.
That I was gonna. If you,
which
I was take...
awesome. And then one of the wrestlers was Lobo, or Lobo wannabe or something. Yeah. I can't remember. Yeah. It was good.
He had a mask on and everything.
Yeah, it was cool.
Then Wolverine,
is it still bloody?
Yes, this, so last issue ended with, Sabretooth hitting, Wolverine with a depowering gun that Forge made, so well, that's going on. Quinn and Quire, who's just literally like this head in a box, that Sabretooth is using to control Wolverine and different stuff. He is telepathically talking to the one of the Coco sisters, or Cuckoo sisters that he was dating.
I like Coco.
Yeah. It's Cuckoo.
Yeah.
Like the pronunciation police.
And so she's just trying to tell him, like, hey, don't. You know, because Wolverine wants him, or Sabretooth wants him to, like, you know, to kill Wolverine because now he doesn't have a healing factor and stuff. And she's like, well, just don't do it. She's like, you're strong enough to do it. And he's like, I've already done it. And it cuts to, like this huge, like, big purple gun just shooting Wolverine with all this energy and stuff like that. But he, it doesn't end up killing him. He ends
this
up...
Is his healing factor gone?
Yeah, that's when he got depowered. Whenever Sabretooth shot him with that gun, it was like it was a depowering gun or a demutating gun or however you want to... but he's found by some of the X-Force, team, and he's all bandaged up and stuff, but they're getting ready to grasp him because they still have X-23, and which she's in the midst of trying to make her own escape, and stuff, but yeah, it's still pretty good issues.
Who's writing this?
The Benjamin Percy.
Okay.
I was hoping Dave was going to be here so he could talk about Phantom Road.
Don't blame him. I'm glad he's not here.
Yeah, he would be having a hard time with that. But, yeah, just Phantom Road. Still, it's time to explain a little bit some more, kind of, but still been enjoying it. Amazing Spider-Man.
I read that.
I was surprised by the art. Because it was that Todd Knock or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, normally I'm not a big fan of his stuff normally. But it was pretty good in this issue. It wasn't too...
I think he's doing two issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his. A little too cartoony.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I don't like about it.
But so... Hollow... It opens up with, like, this... like madman trying to like beat up on a guard and looking for Ben Chasm and because it's a Hollow Eve using one of her changing powers,
yeah, one of her masks,
yeah, but so they're finally united, and then so Peter's talking on the phone with MJ. Well, he's getting ready to meet the doctor who's looking after May's aunt, or who was when she was in Ravencroft.
That turns out it's a date.
It's a date. And
then, of course, he gets a phone call and has to leave the date.
Because
who's
Betty...
he on a date with?
The doctor who's treating MJ's mom.
Aunt.
Aunt. Okay, sorry.
But yeah, so they're on a date. They're actually having a good time. He gets a phone call from Betty... because she's trying to track down the stuff going who are trying to frame her ex or husband for it to be Hobgoblin from previous story arcs and stuff like that. So he goes to help her because she's in trouble. And then, I forget. And that's whenever, like, Ben and them show up because they're both looking for this mind control or memory control thing. We get a page with the living brain in it too for a minute.
That was cool.
But yeah, like I'm these past couple issues have been a little bit better. And then the last one I read was Ultimate X-Men 2.
I read that. I bet Dave did too.
Yeah.
It's just not an X-Men book.
It does.
That's
like,
my problem. I mean, there might be two characters that have powers.
Yeah, like,
but it's just not very X-Men-y.
Yeah, like I'm enjoying it. And I'm liking it. But yeah, but it's not like too much of an X-Men book. There's a girl who has like storm-like powers.
Right.
It seems like.
Yeah.
But it's not. But it's
so
not
they're in storm. Middle school, and then so that's when Armor's powers came out when she was almost hit by a car, and then there was this black thing.
Yeah, the thing from the previous issue.
Yeah,
it's like...
so in this one, she gets a note to go to this abandoned school, and so she recruits that other girl to come with her, and they go, and the black thing is there.
And like they fight it a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, and there's a security guard, but then he turns out he's like out of maggots.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, is this guy like the Shadow King?
That's what
so,
it kind of like, looks like it's like leaning that way, but...
But then later on, there's a scene where there's this guy like sitting in a closet with a mask on, yeah, and he takes it off.
Yeah, it looks like it's like it was like the thing that was controlling.
Right, but then he's like, "But who are you? Oh, you're that girl." It's like, wait a minute, you would have known. It just very confusing. But then the next scene is that they graduated and now they're in high school and they're going to be together. Yeah. So it's like, you know, the
it's
school
drama, Peach, right?
Yeah. So it's just, it's fine. I don't know if it should really be under the ultimate line.
Yeah, it'd be like one thing if it was like, because like normally they kind of give her just own kind of like offshoot to let her do whatever she wants. Like, it is like a weird thing to put in this new ultimate universe.
Are the lights on under the eve?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was a lot. That was the last one I had.
Okay.
How's it selling?
Not well.
No,
not like Spider-Man. The Spider-Man selling great. Black Panther and X-Men were misfires, so hopefully they can rebound with Ultimates. Batman Dylan Dog. They so botched the marketing and promotion of this book. Did you read it?
No, you were okay. Talking about it a little bit before.
This was, so Batman and Dylan Dog are, you know, they're doing something and... It's Joker sought out Dylan Dog's bad guy, Zabraxas, and it was a case of Joker was looking for somebody who's dead that Dylan Dog had killed. But if Joker was looking for him, that's why he went to Zabraxas, who's bringing people back from the dead. So they rescued Catwoman and his assistant Groucho. And then, so now they have to go figure out if someone's still dead. Well, how do we know if someone's soul is still in hell? Who would you go see? They go to Constantine. Oh. So the rest of the book is Dylan Dog and Constantine going to hell, dealing with the demon, the rhyming demon, to try to, and they go talk to this like old Greek guy that apparently John goes down and talks to Epicurus or somebody. Down there, and he's like, oh, I know the guy you were talking about. I really liked him. He was fun to talk to. He had neat ideas. No, he's not here anymore. So now they have to leave Hell and come back, and now they have to go. But it was an entire Hellblazer issue with Hellblazer going into Hell. It was fantastic. They didn't promote it at all. How am I supposed to promote this to
was
Hellblazer
it even on
people?
The cover?
I don't remember. But it's just like, this is a really cool book that they just threw out there. So, Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, all of a sudden this is coming out monthly after the first ones were bi-monthly, but it's basically the main character is the police are looking for her, and she's just driving around, and now she's hallucinating and seeing her victims, but like she sees them walking down the sidewalk, but when she gets them, kills them, and then cuts them up into little pieces and puts them into paint cans and buries the paint cans. So they're coming in, like, guy's missing a quarter of his head and stuff like that, and she's having these hallucinations. And I think at the end she just realizes she has to go kill this other guy. Outsiders. This made me send off an email.
Is Waller in it?
No, Waller's not in it. Oh. But as it all goes through, it's revealed that the drummer, the new drummer in this one...
Is Amanda Waller.
No, it's Jaquita from Planetary, one of the three people in Planetary. She's taken over the drummer role. I'm like, well, that's so cool. You know, that's really neat for all the Planetary fans. However, Planetary ended like 15 years ago. And Planetary's not in print. So unless you know that and you were a Planetary fan from 15 years ago, you're going to have no idea who that is. But I bet there's a lot of people that would be like, oh, that's cool. I can read about it here and learn. So I had to email DC and say, hey, it's not, well, the problem is it's not in print. It is in print as a $75 omnibus. I'm like, no one's going to try a $75 omnibus. But make it a couple volumes, a $25 volume one, I can sell that. But, and they're like, oh, thanks, we'll take it under consideration. I'm like, is anybody there paying attention?
No, they're not.
You came out with this book that is a spinoff of Planetary nobody thought to see. Because their opinion is, oh, if the hardcovers are still in stock, they don't then print a paperback. They wait to print paperbacks when the hardcovers are out of stock. And so, like, they canceled the last collection of Bendis's run of Justice League because they still have the hardcovers. I'm like, but people don't alternate hardcover and soft cover. Do you not understand how your business works?
No.
Suicide Squad Dream Team number 2. Yeah. What?
Is she in it?
Yes. Yes. Amanda Waller's in this one. Colorist issue in this one. I don't know if anybody remembers Black Alice. She was part of like the Secret Six and stuff. She's blue in this. In both issues, she's been blue. I'm very confused.
She's not blue, is she?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I thought she was like pasty white. She was like goth girl. But in this book, she's blue. But basically, Dreamer ends up going into Waller while she's sleeping and confronting her. And it turns out Waller's plan is because Superman on different multiverses has turned bad and taken over the world. She's now trying to stop Superman from doing that on our Earth. And that's going to be the whole point of absolute power. And at the end, she started taking no-dos so that she doesn't fall asleep so Dreamer can't go into her dreams again. When the Blood Has Dried. This is like a fantasy Dungeons and Dragons kind. It starts, this is, I think, Mad Cave. It starts with this lady's being attacked by this other guy. And basically he puts arrows, you know, he's got her held down and you see him go thwip and he shoots the arrow. Then switches. Now she is a barkeep and running the bar and he's kind of showing day in the life type stuff. And then it turns out the Adventurers Guild is going to open an office in that town. And the guy that shot her shows she's coming. She's kind of been hiding out here. The problem I have with this is the made up names are so bad. I don't know if they're Scottish or what they are, but the main character's name is M-E-A-B-H. So as you're reading it, you generally kind of sound it out in your head. I have no idea how you say that name. And all the names, the cities, everything is that way. And I'm like, it totally pulls me out of the story. Because I'm like, what's it, Mibbeh? You know, I don't know how to... So, Action Comics 1064, the start of the House of Brainiac.
Who's writing this?
Williamson.
Okay.
I have a problem with it, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. Overall, it was fine. Superman's having a great day. Lois has a day off, and she just wants to be left alone. And it ends up, she goes into the park, and she's doing a yoga class with Jimmy and his girlfriend, and Clark shows up in total Clark workout gear, looks very funny. And all of a sudden, Clark, you see him stop, and he's listening as Lois is talking, and all of a sudden he says, "Get to shelter." And all of a sudden, all these Zarnians are falling from the sky, along with Brainiac robots. And so Superman, like, talks to all the other super family people, and they're all fighting and taking, attacking. And they're catching all the people in bottles, which is really weird, because it's like a bottle with a little twist top. And it was just like, okay. But the Zarnians have a gun and they're shooting and capturing people, but it's like they're capturing everybody with powers. And it's like, oh, don't let him catch us. Luther is in it because he's in jail and he's like, you know, the thing that always scared me about Brainiac is he gets people and he always wanted you know, super to figure out how you're made and all this. So don't let him capture you. So they're fighting and they're captured. They got Supergirl and got different super family people, but with all these Zarnians. So it was good. My problem with it, like in the news, I talked about Gail Simone's doing an action arc and Ray McRowell is. So they started with the Jason Aaron run. Now we're doing the Josh Williamson one, but it's part of an event. It's like if you're doing these little story arcs and not making it an anthology book so much, but just doing little stories. To have one part of an event that's now going into Superman and Green Lantern and Power Girl, it's like, what are you doing exactly here?
Yeah, like, the Green Lantern had House of Brainiac. Spencer, did you notice anything House of Brainiac?
Well, that Lobo part.
Yeah.
The Lobo part was the House of Brainiac.
I thought it meant in the main story.
No, it was the backup.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if going forward, but I think the next couple issues have, like,
a tie-in.
So it's just for if it's just something you're doing for a brief arc, it's weird to make that part of an event. This really should have just been a standalone event, not going in through Action and Superman, in my opinion. Monsters Are My Business is a new one from Dark Horse and Cullen Bunn. Basically just a Monster Hunter guy. Something happened and there was acid rain and people are hiding and there's some mutating people and this guy's now a Monster Hunter. Dead Weights. Dave will probably talk about this. This is Ahoy, but it's basically...
Oh, I missed to get that one.
Okay.
Do you have any more?
I do. I think I only had the one on the shelf, the one I read. So you're...
Okay.
Please go get it. But the basic, it's two guys are a part of a group of villains and they're just basically tired of getting their butts handed to them.
Which one's this?
Dead Weights from Ahoy. And they're like, the one guy's like, I quit. And his buddy comes along with him. It was good. There's more to it, but I don't want to spoil it for Mike.
People remember.
The Batman First Night. So this was good. My problem with it, there were two F-bombs in it. And a line where a guy says, cut off his dick and put it in his mouth. And it's like, I get you're trying to be edgy. I get it's a black label book, 17 plus. It didn't. None of that was necessary.
Yeah.
And it's going to limit its sales because now I can't sell it to a kid. You know, it's just kids can take some violence and gore and things like that, but don't. They were too explicit. I'm like, not cool. Yeah. Story's neat. It's set, you know, 1939 before Batman, early Batman. But yeah, it's been good. I read The Resurrection of Magneto 3 and 4. He's back. Just so much, like, meta. He's in, you know, the ether, and he's battling himself, and, you know, just a lot of that. So, but he's back. And I guess they found those missing mutants who Professor X was trying to hide and send away. I think they found them, so. Silicon Bandits is a new one from a company called Magma. I decided to read it. It's essentially like AWA. It's had the same feel. The quality of the book was good, but it's two people. They've created C-47 androids. So this is the 47th generation, and they're super smart and super strong. And after they create them, they then get, they do this big, you know, public release, you know, thing, you know, televised. Then the company fires them because now they can just have these two create the next wave since they're smarter than them. And so the husband kind of foresaw stuff happening, and on the sly he's been building his own, and he built his own C-47 androids, and he made four of them, two of which were replicas of her parents and two were replicas of friends of his that had died. And so now they're going to go try to take all of the special metal that they need and steal it so that they can't keep making these. At the end of the episode, an old army buddy of this guy shows up, and all of a sudden he sees the androids, and he's like a bad guy. So we'll see how that goes. It was good, but yeah, it could have easily been an AWA book. Little Black Book. Okay, that's it. That's everything I read. But I read a bunch. I read a lot. Honest, I did. Okay, the rain has slowed down. Mm-hmm. Good, because, man, it was torrential there for a minute. And I'm like, I don't want to take the dogs out in this.
Well, Colin, watch yourself what's coming out of next.
There are books. Many books. One thing from Diamond, we have Cult of that Wilkins Boy. That's an Archie one. That I highlighted that just for Dave, and he's not here. We also have, I know Pat is excited about this one, Pooh versus Bambi. Since, you know, they're, you know, Pooh, they're...
Public domain
now. So, and that's pretty much everything.
Who puts that out?
Who cares?
I think it's Zenoscope.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You need a good Pooh book every once
in a while. Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah. From Lunar, we're getting Batman Dark Age 2. That's the Mark Russell, Mike Allred one. Deathstalker, this is from Vault. And this is written by, I guess this is an old movie from the 80s. But this is written by Slash. Yes, that Slash.
The Guns N' Roses guitarist?
Yes. He wrote every word.
Oh, my goodness.
Detective Comics is next week. Dick Tracy, number one. I forget. This is from Mad Cave. Drawing Blood is a weird one. This is from Image, and they've been really pushing it, and I haven't been excited about it because it came out years ago, like self-published. So I'm like, why get excited? And it says one of 12. I'm like, well, I know the last one didn't go 12, but also the last one didn't sell for crap. So we have Duke number 5, Feral number 2, Flash number 8, Mike.
Woo!
Perfect time to jump on.
Maybe he will run.
There's a new artist.
Maybe he'll trip and it'll just like start him to go.
Showcase 22 Facsimile Edition. Whose first appearance was in Showcase 22?
Teen Titans?
No. Nobody? Hal Jordan, Green Lantern.
Ah.
Spectrograph number 1. This is a new one from Distillery. I'm going to skip this one because you're not interested in this one. And World Tree number 9. You interested in that top one?
Oh, that's something.
Universal Monsters Creature from the Black Lagoon Lives, number 1. And then coming from Penguin, we get Spider-Man 48. Avengers 13 is a Fall of the House of X tie-in. Daredevil number 8, which I think is like a special one and it's giant-sized or something. It's like issue 800. I don't know. There's a Frank Miller cover, though, so I mean, that's kind of cool.
A new Frank Miller cover?
Yeah. Gods number 7. Maybe this will get somewhere. We have the IDW catalog. Oh, I didn't check to see from Lunar if we had the DC catalog coming. Sorry. Turning pages. No, we don't. So we have the IDW catalog and we have the Marvel previews catalog, but we don't have previews coming because that's not coming until the 1st. You can't plan these things.
Rather early than late.
Earlier is better than late, yes. We have Rise of the Powers of X 4, which I think is the last issue.
I thought they did 5.
I thought it was 4, but it might be 5. Star Wars Darth Maul Black, White, and Red. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 150. Last ever issue.
What's the cover price on that? I think it's $9.99.
Probably. It's probably big.
Yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man 4, Wolverine 48. X-Men Forever 2 and X-Men 130 Facsimile Edition. Who is the first appearance in X-Men Dazzle. 130? Very good. So that's what we got. Free Comic Book Day is 2.5 weeks away. Very exciting.
Line up now.
May 4th. No, God, no. May 4th. I do see stores have people lining up. We've never had a line. Oh, well, last year we did. Yeah, last year there was a line.
Was there?
I don't remember why there was a line. But yeah, normally we don't and people just want to saunter up.
Raining?
Mm-mm. I just remember there was a line.
I remember the only time there was a line was with the Doomsday clock.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight release.
Yeah.
Well, that's because everybody wanted to see the damage.
Yeah.
So.
Just breaking down the door to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next Friday, the 26th, we're doing Blackest Night for book club. And we're just going to let it roll with crime books for the rest of the month. So that's what we got.
So book club's next week already?
Next week already. Oh, well, today's the 17th, so that means Friday's the 19th, which means next week's the 26th. There ain't any more Fridays in April after that one.
That's very true.
You better get reading.
It's a quick read. If you never read it before.
I've read it before.
So do I reread it? Do I need to for the 10 minutes we'll talk about it? There were colors.
We've been talking about the books a little longer. Okay. There's more people. Okay.
That's true.
Which is cool.
That's true. And so Caleb then devolves into colonoscopies. So.
I don't think that was Caleb.
Oh,
wasn't it?
No, that.
What was Caleb?
It was me and Mike.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought it was Caleb.
Mike was talking about boxes.
I incorrectly blamed Caleb. Yeah. Coligard.
Yeah, that's right. And then Josh got up and left because.
I apologized to Josh. I said, I won't talk about that ever again unless Pat starts.
A little touchy about the subject.
The website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Pat, send us home.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.
Bye.